Certainly good to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to turn with me in your New Testaments to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if we'll take our text for the invitation talk this morning. And we're going to begin reading with verse 14 and going down through verse 18. So verse 14 through the end of the chapter. This is a well-known passage that some have a bit of a time understanding correctly, and so we want to share just a few thoughts about it. The text says in verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he who believes with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." This is a very important and a very significant passage. Well, important and significant is the same thing, isn't it? Or at least close. But admonition that the Apostle Paul gives, especially in the context with regard to the problems that the Corinthians had shown themselves to have with worldliness. And we want to know, what does it mean to not be unequally yoked? What is an unequal yoking? That's the question we want to answer in the class this morning. So does that mean that we're not to have anything at all to do with those who are unbelievers? Well, that's not so, and that's something that is clearly answered in the letter previous. So I would like you to keep your finger here, because we're going to come back with thumb or a marker of some kind, and just go to 1 Corinthians for just a few moments in the 5th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to notice in verse 9 what the Apostle Paul had to say to the Corinthians at that time. You'll remember in the context, he is calling upon them to withdraw their fellowship from an individual in the church who was guilty of sexual immorality. And he was admonishing them because he had already given them instructions in that regard, not to have fellowship with someone who is a brother in Christ and yet who is not living as he should live. In this case, sexual immorality was the sin that this unrepentant man was involved in. So he said in verse 9, concerning a previous letter he had written to them, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, idolaters, since then you would have need to go out of the world. I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who's called a brother and is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person." What that indicates is that there is one who has been in fellowship with God and in fellowship with God's people. And he is the one who is to be rejected because of his unrepentant sin. That is what the practice of church discipline is about, to bring an individual back, and if he's unwilling to come back, to expel him from the number. But you'll note that that applies to those who are in the church. It has no application to those who are outside. So here we have individuals, he says, keeping company. He said, I didn't mean that you're not to keep company with the sexually immoral people of the world. So it is acceptable for us to keep company with those who are in the world who are not as God would have them to be. They are unrepentant sinners. We can keep company with them. Now, that's not endorsing their practices or engaging in those practices with them, but it does mean that we can associate with them. And so when we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and there is that phrase, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers," it doesn't mean that we can't keep company with unbelievers. Now, why would God want us to keep company with unbelievers? Well, it's an easy question to answer. It is because he desires for us to be a good influence upon them and through the preaching of the gospel to save souls. In other words, to make those who are unrepentant sinners penitent individuals who would come to Christ so that their souls might be saved. So an unequal yoking has something different as its definition than simply keeping company with those who are outside of the body of Christ who are engaging in sinful activities. So what can it mean? Well, I want you to notice in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what the contrasts are in this particular section. Of course, having righteousness and lawlessness, light and darkness, Christ and Belial, believers and unbelievers. Well, you notice the words that are used concerning the unequal yoking. He mentions in this particular text, fellowship. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion, which is another word for fellowship, has light with darkness? What accord, which is another word for fellowship, has Christ with Belial? What part, which is, again, another word that we can use to indicate fellowship, has he who believes with an unbeliever? So now we're talking about communion, or in the term fellowship, joint participation. And that's what's being referred to here. So when we talk about a yoking, there can be yoking, and then there can be unequal yoking. And the unequal yoking is when an individual who is a Christian begins to participate in things with the unbeliever that a Christian ought not to participate in. He begins to engage in immorality, to participate in darkness, to worship idols, to have this accord with things that are lawless. And when that happens, then we are guilty of an unequal yoking. And that's what's under consideration at this point. The question you have to ask yourself is, in these interactions that you have with those who are in the world, are you influencing them, or are you allowing them to influence you? Are you seeking to bring them to Christ, or are you allowing them to make you more worldly in your thoughts, in your actions, in your demeanor? Because if you are doing that, then from the point of view of a child of God, you are yoked together with them unequally. It's not working. It's not what it's supposed to be. And so that's what an unequal yoking is. Now, since we have just a couple of minutes, the question that always arises when we read that text, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the question is, does that mean that a Christian can't marry a non-Christian? Because they say that the closest kind of yoking that you can have is the husband-wife relationship. And that's certainly true, but that's not what this passage is teaching. That's not what this passage is about. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, indicates that if a believer is married to an unbeliever, that the unbeliever is sanctified by the faith of the believer. In other words, God intends for those who are married, unbelievers and believers, to remain married. Now, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. You're not under bondage to that unbeliever. What does that mean? Well, that means that you don't have to have fellowship or participation with the unbeliever in those things that are unrighteous in order to save your marriage. He can depart and you can serve God. And so there is the possibility that a man who is married to an unbelieving wife, a wife who is married to an unbelieving husband, can be unequally yoked because they were allowing the unbeliever to influence them or cause them to participate in things that a Christian should have no part in. That's where the danger arises. Whenever I talk with young people about this, I don't say this means you can't marry a non-Christian. What I say is consider what marrying a non-Christian would do to you, how it would impact you, the dangers of having an unequal yoking in that regard, because it leads you to error. Now, I've talked with many, many women who have been married to men who are not believing. I've talked to very few men who are married to women who are unbelieving. It seems to be the other way around most of the time. But I have talked to women who would say, as much as I love my husband, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't marry him for that very reason. Because of the temptation, because of the difficulties to serve God acceptably as a result of that marriage that they're a part of. And as Christians, no matter what the relationship is that we have with those in the world, we can never allow it to be an equal yoking. We can't allow ourselves to participate in evil, to have an agreement with idols, to have an accord with Belial or fellowship with lawlessness. Because that is not in keeping with what it is to be a child of God. So this is just another call for sanctification, to keeping yourself separate from those who are ungodly, in the sense not that you can't have company with them, but that you can't participate with them in their evil deeds. So that's a call for all of us to be righteous. We're going to offer an invitation at this time to anyone who is here who is not a child of God, that they might become one, so they'll have fellowship, accord, a part with Christ. And you can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized to have your sins washed away if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If there is something that is amiss in your life, if you have had some unequal yoking with an unbeliever and you need to repent of that, then we call upon you to do so today. If there is anything that we can help you with, the invitation is extended. If you'd like to come, we'd love for you to come, and we ask that you come now while together we stand and while we sing.